Hello, welcome to Not Alone Today podcast. My name is Anu.
And I am Joseph. Welcome.
Yes, today's podcast is a follow-up from our conversation on courtship, how to manage sexual attractions while you're courting. But today we're taking it into more details and going into what that would look like after, when you're close to getting married and during your marriage. So basically we're talking about sex, but in a holistic way.
So listener discretion is advised, basically.
I pray that as you listen, God will bless you with this. And I'll hand over to Joseph to read out the questions that we had from John and Chioma.
It sounded like we're in a church service, but yeah. So John's question is, how should intending couples talk about sex before marriage? If they are cautious about their minds and they don't want to be too carried away. Lovely question. Yes. It goes on to ask, why should this be discussed in courtship and not till after the wedding?
Another lovely question. Mm-hmm.
And lastly, that what should be the issues that will be discussed? I mean, we're saying discuss, talk about sex. So what should we be talking about exactly when we say we're talking about sex? I know we'll read the other question.
So this question was directed to me and it says, is it right to have heart-to-heart conversation with your husband about how you feel, what you feel is wrong in your sex life? The lady asking this question, Chioma, she's not married, but she's asking on behalf of someone that she knows. The person was a virgin when she got married and sex was very difficult after they got married. It got so serious that her parents got involved. The person's parents advised the lady to submit to her husband and just let things go. And Chioma doesn't feel that's the right response. But on the long run, they found a specialist who was able to help them and gave them sex education, basically. And today, the person is happy. So Chioma's question to me, to us, is that how can this be better managed? So, I'll hand over to you to start with John's question.
Okay, so, I mean, you know that I like to throw it back inwards and say, let's look at ourselves. Let's start from us. Let's see what we did right and what we didn't do right in our own context and what others can learn from that. If my memory serves me right, feel free to prove me wrong or correct me or edit my memory. But according to my recollection, we started courting in 2012, February. My earliest memory of us having a conversation that somehow landed on sex. I don't think we outrightly even wanted to talk about sex, but maybe one thing led to the other. I think I was gisting you. Remember?
I was very pious then, very spiritual.
Yeah, someone that, I won't get into all of that.
I'm still in it.
Oh, yes, you're still very pious, absolutely. I'm on the other side of the river, so I know that, that's not where it ends. There is more to the pious quiety. That was the adjective I used to use for her back in the days. Anyways, so we had this conversation that somehow, I can't remember where it started, but it landed on sex and issues about what would you like and things like that. So we talked about sex styles and obviously we had different opinions about so very many things. Or maybe not very many, but at least I can still remember one. You want to check
in? I know, but at that point when we were talking about sex styles, I thought it was a taboo. Like, how can a spiritual... I was so shocked. My mom was just beating like, hey, so this brother knows about these things. Like, how can they talk about, like, why can't we just do? I told him, like, why can't we just do the normal one? And he said, even the normal one is a style. So what was I talking about? He actually, like, listening to, having had that conversation, this is one of the benefits of having this conversation, prepared me for what is to come. If I'd gone into marriage with that mentality of, don't do this, don't do that, I would have struggled a bit. But our exploration is still within the confines of God's guidance. But I'm just trying to say that if I had a strong opinion to sex styles, but discussing it with my then fiancé or courting person, then helped me to realize the possibilities of sex. So I just thought to chip that in. Sorry, I cut you short.
Yeah, no, that's helpful. But again, like I said, that was as far back as 2012, if I can remember correctly. What I then did after that initial conversation And I began to see, because I can remember this conversation was, it turned out to be so hot. I was walking, pacing up and down as I was on the phone. I mean, we had a long distance relationship for the most part. So it's not like we were seeing eye to eye as we're talking about something so intimate. So I felt like, oh my God, we're going to definitely need all the help we can get in this area.
Like, why, when you say hot, what do you mean?
It's those conversations that people that are in a relationship have when both of them are not on the same side. We're not seeing eye to eye on things. It's easy when everybody agrees to everything and yeah. But when you think, oh, I for the life of me, I think we need to settle this issue or that issue and things like that. So what I did was then I found a very helpful biblical message on sex that I listened to, and then I shared the resource with her at the time. But between then and very close to our marriage, we didn't exactly have any time that we dived headlong into talking about sex. And for obvious reasons, we don't want to be too carried away, just like John himself was implying in the question, because these are conversations that, I mean, when you're talking about things like this, especially if your relationship has gotten to the point where naturally you're getting so attracted to one another, and then you're talking about something so intimate, the tendency to want to experiment skyrockets, goes to another level. So we didn't do much of talking in that sense than just sharing resources. I remember I was listening to a series of messages from Brogbilia Koni, then that message that I sent to you in 2012. But the one time that I knew that we really, really dug into talking about sex was very, very close to our wedding. It was after we've registered at the registrar's office. We had a date for the wedding, as it were. That was when we decided to go into this resource by Tim LaHaye and his wife, Tim and Beverly LaHaye. It's titled The Act of Marriage, The Beauty of Sexual Love. And so we basically just went night after night, talking chapter by chapter and discussing what that meant for us. And basically it was very helpful. I think that in retrospect, the wisdom then in how we were having this on and off conversations earlier on, compared to what we did when we were very close to the wedding and used that resource, was that I saw that it is actually wise to have a guided conversation when you want to talk about something so intimate. It's good when there is a biblically sound resource that both of you can journey through together.
Yes.
That way, it takes the pressure off either of you to be the one to say whatever it is you want to say. Because this is a resource, or these are resources that hopefully would naturally draw you out to begin to say, okay, I'm comfortable with what the authors are saying here, but what they said there, I'm not sure about this. And then you can begin to talk about your tension points. And the way Act of Marriage especially was written, I mean, this were a couple that were already like 4 decades into their marriage before they penned the first edition of the book. So they've been married for long. They've ran lots of marriage conferences, family life events and things like that. So they have lots of data, real life scenarios that they were painting as case studies in the book that we can begin to relate with in different ways. So it was very educative, very enlightening. But at the same time, it gave us an opportunity and a safe space to talk about what both of us felt about different things. And I think one of the major takeaway for me was the book helped me to understand what sex means for both genders. Even for myself as a man, I didn't fully understand what sex means, because of course we've not started having sex. But reading that resource, discussing it together, going through it together, helped me to begin to see the place of sex in our union, and especially what it means to my partner, my beautiful, lovely wife. That's as far back as I can remember. I don't know if...
No, you said it. Oh, it was very, very informative and very useful for us at the time.
Why should this be discussed and not till after the wedding? Like, why not just wait till we got married and then discuss or go through Act of Marriage after we married? Why before we got married? Why was that helpful, or why was that important?
I think it was important because you expected to have sex on the night of your wedding. So if you guys want to take the week, 1 week after you've gotten married to read the act of love,
that's fine.
It's fine. But understanding the times is something that it's needed to be done before the actual wedding. Then you both are able to see what your needs are and how to respond to that. But if you're having this conversation after you've gotten married, the lady might feel like caged in, like, oh, I've done it, there's nothing else to do. And the man might feel, oh, what have I married, she's not responsive and things. And I think another benefit is, it actually ties in into
Chioma's question,
but I'll leave that now and just wait. What do you think?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say, because again, I mean, we don't know the story of Chioma's relationship with us, with her husband and all of that. We don't Chioma's know the details. Of Chioma's friend, sorry. But the point is, if I'm assuming that if there had been an avenue like this, where both of them went through a resource together, especially in marriage counseling, if you go through a standard marriage counseling in a proper church setting, all of these things will also be touched on at some point. If there had been that kind of an avenue, a safe space, emphasis on the safe space, because again, there are many church formal marriage counseling setups that you just know you're going through it for formality's sake, not because it's really giving you the avenue to express yourself as much as you would want. But if you found a safe space to talk about this in a way that is guided, it will help you to prepare yourself for what would happen in the context of marriage. And I think one of the big principles, really, for a blissful and effective sexual experience in marriage would be communication. Absolutely. So Chioma's question is, the answer is straightforward. How could that have been better managed? Yes, it's right for you to express what's going on with you and talk about it together as a couple, and seek help if you need help, because again, in spite of whatever theoretical knowledge you could have gained from discussing or going through a resource, there is still nothing that would totally fully prepare you for the practical.
Very true.
And so when the time comes for the practical experience, you will start to then see that, okay, now we are learning on another level, and we'll continue to learn in that regard. So I think it's important to discuss it before. It prepares your mind, basically.
Yes, that's true.
It waters the ground, and then you could have picked up tools that would be helpful even when you are now experiencing the practical side of things, and you're able to know how to respond, how to communicate, and all of that. In that sense, does that help?
Yes, it does. Thank you. And also, I just want to say that Chioma's friend's question is similar to my story. Okay, we read The Act of Marriage. It prepared me, to be very truthful, it made me to know that I can talk about these things. I can talk about what I'm not comfortable with. We can talk about what we don't think is biblical, even if it's fanciful. And we're able to talk about that. But what helped is the communication part. So when we got married, I had difficulty with sex because it was very, very painful for me. And
initially
it was like a physical fear. I just couldn't do it. It was so painful. And I think what added to the pain was the guilt that I felt like, hey, they've paid money on my head, they've done everything they should do. Now I can't deliver. I felt less of a woman. I felt bad. I keep apologizing to Colin and saying, hey, I'm sorry. I'll try. What do you want me to do? But it was patient. And I think it's patience and understanding made it better for me.
Sure.
The patience and the ability to talk to him released the vice hold of the fear. So gradually, I saw it for what it is. It wasn't just the fear of a man coming to me. It was an actual pain. And what also helped was There was an older auntie that I had that talked me through our experience, mm-hmm. and she talked me through.
And she's a doctor.
She's a doctor. Yes, she talked me through Alvat for the first, I think, 3 weeks or 4 weeks of her marriage. She couldn't have sex with her husband because it was too painful.
I think it was even months.
Yeah, and she even said she was doing shakara. I mean, she was what's shakara in English?
She was acting up. She was being
dramatic. She was acting up and dramatic about it, like, oh, I can't do it. And her husband was like, okay, he was gentle. Whereas in my own case, I was still like, hey, I'm sorry. So I think one of the lessons to us ladies is, apart from being virgins, mm-hmm. with our virginity, let's add knowledge and wisdom to it. Mm. That you've done everything perfectly while you're growing up and everything does not mean that when you're ready for the sex itself, it will be smooth and easy. Mm-hmm. There are things that the auntie told me about. Lubricants. Mm. There are lots of resources out there, but the thing is, like Ola said, you're searching, you're wanting to be knowledgeable, let it be guided by God, and be in sync with your partner. Don't go and start reading things that will corrupt yourself. Like, it's just basic knowledge. Like, for me, from my experience, what I'm trying to say to you is that be prepared for the fact that it might be painful. Be prepared for the fact that you might not have sex on your wedding night. That it might take weeks for it to go. Other women has gone through the same thing. You're not less of a woman. There's nothing wrong with you. Mm-hmm. And if there's something wrong, yeah, there's medical people to help. But just don't take the guilt upon yourself to say this.
No pressure, basically.
Yes, because I knew how I felt. Like, we went for a honeymoon. Like, we went to Edinburgh. We had an hotel. Everything was set. And I just couldn't do anything. It was more than embarrassing. I felt less of myself. Like, I felt I was prepared. I've read this book. I've listened to this pastor, Mrs. I've listened to everybody. Everybody that I can. I felt like I'm a soldier. Like, I've gilded my loins, my sword, my shield. Everything was there. But then I hadn't done enough. There's one part that I haven't heard of, and that was the part that it can be painful, and it doesn't have to happen on the night. So yes, so there's that also to be prepared for, and to also have the conversation. I know that the first night that it didn't happen, all I did was just curl up on the bed and feel, and just started pitying myself. Oh gosh, the pity. Oh, the self-pity was bad. It felt as though my whole heart was sinking deep into an abyss that I can't get out of. But when Kola asked, he began to talk to me and said, okay, what exactly is the problem? Are you afraid of me? Or is it actually a pain? Then I thought about it and I thought, there is two actually, you and the pain. So it talked me through the him part, and I thought, okay, I understand that better now. Then the pain was easier. It was easily managed by resources, by things out there. And I know of a friend, that asked me a question one time that they had difficulty having sex for a very, very long time. Like literally a very long time that she had to go through medical surgery. Not surgery, just a medical thingy to make everything work well.
Yeah.
And still didn't work. But it was a specialist that they helped them. Basically, the specialist said, more foreplay before the actual sex. Makes the lady ready. And these are things that we need to know, even as spiritual as we are. Like, be guided by the Holy Spirit. Even married people that are spiritual, it's still the Holy Spirit that is talking to them when they're having sex. It's not as though the Holy Spirit leaves the room. And after the sex, it comes back. It's with us through it. So let's be ready to open our minds up to the possibilities that sex can bring. It's not just about finding the right man or finding the bone of your bone. It's also being together, intimate together. So there's that part to consider.
Brilliant. And thanks for sharing. That was memories. Anyways, I mean, one can share about those now as testimonies in that sense. So I think we've touched it all. I'll just do a quick recap and we'll tie up the episode. I mean, we can continue to dig deeper and deeper and deeper into this, but okay, we'll just stop there. So how should intending couples talk about sex before marriage? They should talk about it, I would say, guidedly. And by that I mean, our suggestion is that it's better you go through a good resource together and then use that as talking points, and then of course go through marriage counseling, premarital counseling, Christian premarital counseling together, and try as much as possible to be open enough to talk, talk, express yourself. That's how. Why should this be discussed premaritally and not till after the wedding? Because then, of course, you are better prepared. If you wait till after the wedding, on the one hand, there is this sense of you are caged finality. In. Finality. And you feel like, okay, now I don't even have a choice. And I'm in this bondage of pain and whatever. But having this knowledge ahead helps. When should this be discussed? This should be discussed. The best time we'll suggest is to be very close to your wedding. Don't get too deeply into intimate discussions about sex styles and contraceptives and whatnot if you are not really fully ready to start having sex soon. Because these are conversations that can be arousing. These are conversations that can trigger things. So it's always ever so safe if it's close enough to your wedding, so that you know that all of the knowledge you've been wanting to see what that translates to in physical sense, you can have that experience soon enough, as opposed to 1 year later or 2 years later, that seems unbearable. Okay. Lastly, what should be the issues that you will be discussing? Again, if you are using a guided resource, we recommend two resources, The Act of Marriage by Tim and Beverly Lahai, and Model Marriage by Dagi Ward Mills. In The Act of Marriage, for instance, some of the things that were covered include the sanctity of sex, what lovemaking means to a man, what it means to a woman, why God created sex. And then there are these very detailed chapters on sex education, the heart of lovemaking itself. There's a chapter that is tagged for men only. There's a chapter for women only. And all of that. I mean, it's really detailed. And then there is a chapter that is devoted to just random questions that the couple have experienced over 40 years of doing this, seminars and conferences and workshops for married couples and counseling sessions and all of that. So that's definitely a resource that we recommend. Model Marriage, on the other hand, is written by Dagi Ward Mills, like I said. And Dagi Ward Mills is a trained doctor before becoming a pastor. And so the book is not just about sex, it's about marriage. It's like
the whole thing.
It's like a handbook on marriage. Honestly. Very detailed. But there is a couple of sections that are devoted to things about sex and all of that, and it's really, really detailed. They talked about even the wedding night. There is a chapter devoted to the wedding night. This talks about the honeymoon, common fears about sex, gray areas on sex, and all of those kind of things. And I think I love the fact that he also highlighted, I think, about over 30 principles, biblical principles, guiding sex. And that's very, very important, because once you get the principles right, the rest, yeah. So it's a very lovely handbook that would also recommend. So those are two resources that you can engage with, and there are very many more out there. But yeah, those are the two that would point our listeners to. Any other thoughts before we wrap up?
Yes, and while we're discussing this before we recorded the podcast, you were telling me about how that we should understand what sex is for. It's not about me, it's about you. So it's about your partner. Maybe if you want to approach these resources, just approach it with the knowledge of wanting to learn about your partner. That way, you won't find it, hopefully, too arousing, because you're hoping to learn something about someone. Just approach this resource with a selfless mindset, like you're just wanting to learn to be a better wife or a better husband to your partner,
basically.
Yes,
because it's not, I mean, one of the things it will help you do is also to make you learn about yourself.
Yes,
absolutely. But that you're doing it with the mindset and the motive, knowing that at the end of the day, all of this knowledge is so that I can please my partner. And when both of you have that mind, that attitude, I want to please her, she wants to please me, that's a recipe for bliss and exciting, flourishing sexual life, amongst other things, of course. So yeah, that's as much as we could take and as far as we could go on this lovely episode. Thanks to John and Chioma for those interesting questions.
Yes.
And many thanks to everyone that have been sending in feedback. We've been getting lots of feedback for the various episodes out there that we've been able to do so far. One of these days when we do a particular episode that we'll devote to like just responding to other questions that people have asked based on previous episodes, we'll probably also incorporate some of those feedback that some have sent in, especially as voice messages, just to express how much the podcast has been a blessing to them. And so we just want to say thank you for listening, for engaging with the content, and for always letting us know how much of a blessing it has been to you.
Thank you.
It's really, really helpful. God bless you. Till then, remember,
you're not alone today.
Today.